Recognize that photo? He was the world's ultimate mystery in many ways. A recluse he became, secretive about his life. And for a number of years, most people really didn't know whether he was alive. For about a 15 to 20 year period of time, they just didn't know, was he really alive behind closed doors? Howard Hughes was one of the richest men that the world had ever seen back in the 60s and 70s. And yet, while he held the destinies of thousands in his hand and he exercised control even over governments and his wealth was beyond measure, Howard Hughes, in the last days of his life, fled from one hotel to the next, living this secluded life. From one resort to the next. His physical appearance became odder and odder over time, so that this once handsome man, his beard began to grow all the way down to his waist. His hair was rugged and scraggly, and his fingernails were about 2 inches long. His toenails grew out like corkscrews, and he just became... Well, you talk about a person that didn't know how to turn dollars into cents. Remember that in Ecclesiastes chapter 5? Turning dollars into cents. He just didn't have the capacity to do it. For 13 years of his life, he was married to Jean Peters, one of the most beautiful women in the world at that time, by the estimation of some. And yet they were never seen publicly. They never had their picture taken together. They lived in separate bungalows and lived an unusual life, to say the least. Howard Hughes, what happened to his life? This once very successful man. This was a man who could eat and drink, and he could be merry by most standards anyways. But did he really eat and drink? And was he really merry? And was there really a joy there? Not at all. This was a man who just couldn't turn the dollars into cents. This was a man who lived his life in seclusion, a man who experienced life's ultimate gifts. But he just never tapped in to the source of life above the sun. In our study of Ecclesiastes, we've been looking at Solomon's journal entries as he has exasperated some of us, right? I think by design, he's exasperated some of us so that we would see that life under the sun is really this. Well, it is really not all that it's made out to be. And when you've pursued life to its end and you have life by the tail and you realize that you think you have it all together, when you come to that point, all of a sudden you realize... Hopefully you realize that, you know, all these things I've been holding on to, they just don't add up. Life under the sun isn't all that I thought it was going to be. You see, life under the sun will exhaust you. Life under the sun will exasperate you. That's what Solomon's pointing out. He's saying that if you're going to pursue all of these different things in life, then at the end of the deal, when the deal is transacted and you've gone through the experience, you're going to find that you got to have one more experience to get you by the next time. You're going to find that it's going to take a little bit more of whatever you have or whatever you're experiencing or whatever you've accomplished, if that's where your trust is. That's what Solomon's after here. I mean, he's straight up about everything, isn't he? He's not pulling any punches. He's not helping us. You know, he's not just sort of gradually easing into this thing. He is saying, let me be straight up about life. Life under the sun, apart from Jehovah God. If you want to pursue life apart from the Lord, you'll discover that your human experience will tell you that it just doesn't work. It doesn't work without the Lord. Notice what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We're going to look at three verses this morning. That's it, three verses. And in verse 18, notice what Solomon writes. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor, that he takes under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him. For it is his portion. Every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth and has given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is a gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answers him in the joy of his heart. What was Solomon talking about here? Solomon is not some type of killjoy, and neither is the Lord for that matter. Solomon has pointed out the reality of living life under the sun. And yet here in this passage of Scripture, as he finishes out his last journal entry here in this section, he's saying that, yes, there's something about life that we ought to enjoy. So oftentimes we begrudge the past and we look back and we think through the past and we get preoccupied with the past, either the good or the bad of the past, and we're preoccupied with it. Or we're so consumed with what's going to happen in the future that we miss the present gift that God gives us. This is what Solomon is pointing out. I really do believe that Solomon is saying from this passage of Scripture that we ought, according to verse 18, eat and drink and enjoy life. And he said, How do you bring these two passages together? When he first of all, in the first part of this passage where he talked about turning dollars into cents, when he told us that money and power are often received and produced by oppression, when he told us that money ultimately in and of itself, at the end of the day, at the end of the deal, money in and of itself cannot bring satisfaction. When he's already told us that riches have wings and they fly away, when he's already told us in my terms that U-Haul doesn't provide transportation for your goods after you die. You don't get to take him with you. He's already said all that stuff, right? But here, Solomon is saying, life under the sun is just that way. But you need to see that life should be enjoyed. And there's a gift that God gives us to enjoy. It's this present gift that he's given us. And so the first thing in verse 18 that I want to draw our attention to is, first of all, claim the gift of enjoyment. Claim the gift and recognize that it is a gift according to verse 19. This is the gift of God. To enjoy life is a gift from the Lord. To take in this moment and to understand that God is in control. To understand that God is with you. If you believe in Jesus, certainly you can appreciate this. And this is what Solomon is talking about. When you believe in the Lord, that he offers you a gift. And the gift of that life in verse 18, the gift of enjoying life, behold, that which I've seen, it's good and comely for one to eat and drink. He has no problem with that. He's not saying, listen, you know, just get bummed out on life and go sit in a corner and spend the rest of your years just, you know, in depression, deep, dark depression and agony, and just sit over there and just bemoan everything that's ever happened in your life. He's not saying that, is he? He's saying, listen, once you realize that life is... that life as you have believed it to be this great thing, you realize it's not measuring up. Understand that God does have a plan for your life. And God's plan is very simple. If you will place him first in your life and you will come to enjoy him, then soon you will begin to enjoy the things of this life that he has given as a gift. Sometimes we think about the Lord. I think some of us have been in church so long, we think that God's some type of killjoy up in heaven, and that's it. If you have the least bit of fun, you have the least bit of enjoyment in life, that all of a sudden God's just looking for some happy Christian to just, you know, put them down. Let's humble them right now. We don't need any happy Christians. Listen, there are already a lot of unhappy Christians. We don't need any unhappy Christians, right? We need people who are believing in the Lord. And we think sometimes that God is somehow after us. But he's not after us. In fact, he has our greatest concern at heart. There's something about enjoying the gift and claiming the gift of enjoyment. Just taking in the moment. Eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor. We'll come to work in just a moment. But there's something about sitting together with your family. There's something about sitting together with your friends and having, you know, having a cup of coffee or tea or just sitting down at the dinner table and enjoying a dinner together, isn't it? There's nothing beats a relationship with friends, right? Other than your relationship with the Lord. And that's what he's talking about. When you have a relationship with the Lord, all of a sudden, your perspective on everything in life begins to change. You see life differently. You see a simple meal with your family differently. Mothers, thank you for every effort that you make to ensure the family sitting together at the dinner table, at least occasionally, right? It's very difficult to accomplish that. But yet it's so important to be able to sit there at that table for a few moments. You know, it takes 20 minutes, at least 20 minutes, at least sit 20 minutes for your food to notify, you know, for your food as you're digesting it to notify your brain that you're full, right? That's what we learned in our seven pillars of health. It takes 20 minutes. So at least sit 20 minutes, sit there. And while you're waiting for all that stuff to happen, sit there and talk about life and just what's been going on. Thank you, moms, for doing that. Thank you, friends, for calling a get-together over at your house and having a barbecue or having some just sit-down time together with friends. And, you know, take in those moments. Enjoy life. Eat. Drink. Be careful what you drink. Be careful what you eat, okay? But enjoy life. He said, well, you know, I don't really have those kind of relationships. Then let me tell you this. Then you need to begin to plug in and invest in somebody else and develop relationships with people that you can enjoy life with. At the end of the day, at the end of your life, listen, what you're going to remember, what people are going to remember, they're going to remember your relationships. They're going to remember your relationships. And how you responded to them, how you treated them. Enjoy the gift. The gift of life. That's what Solomon is saying here. Which God gives him, by the way. It's his portion. In other words, when you take in life and you have a different perspective with the Lord, you look around and you realize, look what God's done in my life. The people that I have in my life. And the wealth that God has given me. Listen, you say, well, I don't have that much. Listen, most of us in this room live above the majority of the world. The world. If Solomon were at most of our homes, he would say, wow, man, this is pretty nice. Now, you know, Solomon had a lot, but he'd look around at our standard of living, particularly here in America, and he'd look at most of us and say, wow, doing pretty good. Standard of living has increased since I was around. Now, he was wealthy and he had anything that his eyes laid on, his eyes, were placed upon, but let me tell you, he would look around and say, listen, do you know where you got this from? Do you realize from whose hand you received this from? Every good gift comes down from the Father who is above. Every good thing that's good, it's from God. Take in the moment. Enjoy life. Realize that you can spend your life running around underneath the sun. You can spend your life on a treadmill, so to speak. You can spend your life like I do on my stationary bike, you know. I got a stationary bike. We did. Try to get healthy and fit, right? It'll be a next year's garage sale, but we got... No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. It won't be. If you see it out there, don't buy it or buy it and bring it back to me. Make me deal with the reality of my health or lack thereof. But, we got the stationary bike. And it's really a great thing because... you don't have to worry about accidents, you know, but you get to sit there and ours has a little podium type thing on it where you can place notes. And that's where I go over all my sermons and everything else. And, you know, just read books or whatever else I want to do. But you can just sit there. But the thing about it is after 30 minutes on a stationary bike, you know how far I've gone? I'm still in the same place. Now, that little meter says that I've gone about, 8 or 9 miles, but I'm telling you, I'm still in the same place. Some of us are still in the same place. We're just still in the same place. Now, God wants to take us beyond where we're at, but we've got to enjoy the gift that he's given us, and that is the gift of enjoying life. But secondly, in verse 19, we need to claim the gift of fulfillment in the things that we do, in our work, in our labor. What does he say? Every man also to whom God has given riches... Notice that the source, God is the one giving it, by the way. Listen, if you're achieving what you have through sordid gain, through improper means, if what you're doing is not wholesome, if it's not right, if it's unethical, God didn't give that to you, okay? But what Solomon is talking about is what God gives. And what God has given, riches and wealth, you know, God does that, right? You see that? That's what Solomon says. And he's given him the power to eat thereof, just to enjoy a meal. That's a wonderful thing in and of itself. You know, some people can't even do that. I mean, they have everything. They can't even enjoy a meal. Destroys their stomach. I mean, their whole body is out of kilter. and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. So what about work? You say, this is not where I want to work. But whether it's the place you want to work or not, you can still do what you're doing for the glory of God. And there is a benefit derived from just working hard. Now, because being a pastor is not physically demanding, it is demanding in other ways, but it's not physically demanding. Sometimes I just like to work in the yard. I want to just sweat, you know, just get out there. And it's not really a problem here in Southeast Texas, but to get out there and just do something, to plant a bush or to get out and mow the lawn, or just there's something gratifying. I don't know about you, but just to do something physical. I think he's talking about more than just doing something physical. He's saying when you go to work, look at it as an opportunity. Do it with God in mind. Do it with the glory of God at heart. Do what you do for the glory of God. And at the end of the day, when you realize that God is giving you those blessings, you can say, hey, I spent myself doing what I do for the glory of God. I have fulfillment in that. He said, well, I don't really, they don't appreciate me at work. Well, listen, one day they will. God does, okay? He appreciates what you do, and he's giving you opportunity to do what you do. So just take in the moment. There's the gift of fulfillment in work. There's something about just working hard, about approaching life and doing things with excellence and saying, listen, what I did with my whole heart. And whether other people notice it or not, I did it for the Lord. There's something about enjoying work. Some of you are in your days of retirement, and while I don't believe there's any official place of retiring, you may be doing something different than what you did for 30 or 40 years of your life. It is a good day. It's a good day. It's a season of your life that you ought to take in and say, you know something? God's given me financial freedom to be able not to work as I worked for 30 years and to do other kinds of work, always, ultimately, for the glory of God, whatever it may be, whatever it may be. But enjoy the fruit of 30 and 40 years of labor. Enjoy it. Some of you are so tight. Oh, boy, I'm dealing with your money now. Yes, you're just so tight. You're going to leave whatever you have. You spent your life working, and certainly an inheritance is a wonderful thing. But I mean, you're going to leave it to who? I hope they'll be responsible, but Solomon has a real question about that, doesn't he? Hopefully they'll be as pioneering as you were in order to achieve the wealth that you have, but so oftentimes they're not. What I'm telling you, and I think what Solomon is saying is, spend the child's inheritance. No, he's not saying it like that. Don't sit on a wealth of whatever you have and not enjoy your life. Take your wife, take your husband. If your husband is just, if he didn't want to get out and do anything, get them on one of these buses that you don't know where you're headed. Just go on out there, you know. One of these buses, you know, one of these church trips or whatever. Make sure it's a church trip and not one of those crossed into Louisiana, okay? Enjoy it. Don't squander it, okay? Who are you going to leave that to? You worked hard. Claim the gift of enjoying the fruit of your labor, the fulfillment of knowing that what I did, it's good. It's good. Well, I can go on and on about this. But the third thing I want to say in verse 20, claim the gift of contentment in your heart, of being content. Notice what he says, for he shall not much remember the days of his life. Really, that seems like a contradiction. But I'll explain it in just a moment, because God answers him in the joy of his heart. Well, why won't he remember the days of his life? When God fills your life with an eternal perspective and an eternal purpose, you're not consumed with everything that went on in your past, all the things that never materialized, all the things that didn't happen in your life. You're not consumed with that. In other words, you'll take the present moment and you'll become content on what God has brought you out of and what God has brought you through and even what God has brought you into. And you won't be consumed with that. All of a sudden, you begin to let go of some of those things. Sure, you'll remember the wonderful things and you will have learned from the things that happened in your life that were not all that great. But what is it that Solomon is talking about? He's saying that God is going to fill you. He's going to answer that with joy in the heart. so that the present reality of your relationship with the Lord is not going to eclipse the past, but you're just not going to get all consumed and preoccupied with everything of the past. And by the way, you're not going to be so consumed with what's going to happen next year. It's not just a preoccupation with the past, but it is also being consumed with the future, like what's going to happen and all these things. And really, let me ask you, when you've been consumed with things that have happened in the past or preoccupied with things that, that you want to see happen in your future, how much of that were you able to change from the past? Nothing. And really, when you get preoccupied with the things of the future and you're imagining all these different things, you're missing out on the joy of the Lord in the present and the contentment in the present. When you really think about those things and when some of them actually occurred, did it happen just like you thought it would? I mean, think back a little bit. No. So what is he saying? Claim the gift of contentment in your heart. Paul said that I've learned to be content whatever state that I'm in. And you know where he was at? He's in prison. He didn't have much, but he had Jesus. He didn't have much under the sun, but he had a whole lot above the sun. And he truly did achieve and experience the satisfaction that comes with living in the present reality and the gift of enjoying this present moment, this present reality, whatever the reality is, whatever's going on, to look out and say, you know something? It's not really what I was looking forward to. This is not really what I had in mind. But Lord, you said you're going to give me a joy in my heart. And Lord, I want the joy in my heart. I want the eternal perspective to be able to see life differently so that I see this differently than what somebody who just simply lives under the sun sees it. Somebody who doesn't have an eternal perspective. Someone who doesn't really know the Lord. Christians. Don't you think we're supposed to look at life differently? I'm not saying it's always easy, but certainly we must look at life differently and say, you know, Lord, thank you. Thank you. And be grateful for the things that the Lord has done and express that to him. Just to be able to say, so, Lord, thank you. I'm grateful. You know, when you look at verse 20, what Solomon is talking about in this last little journal statement that he makes here, he's saying God can give you what no one else can give you. He can put something in your heart that nothing else can put in your heart. And no matter what you turn to, no matter what you look at, no matter how many regrets you have of yesterday or how many things you hope to happen in the future, if you will simply turn your attention to the Lord today, He will change your perspective from this day forward in your life. A wealthy employer once heard one of his workers exclaim, "Oh, if I only had $100, I would be perfectly content." Knowing that his own money had not given him this inner peace, he told the woman, he said, "Since I would like to see someone who's perfectly contented, I'm going to grant you the desire of your heart." And so he gave her $100 and he walked off. But as he was walking off, he heard her say, "Why on earth didn't I say $200? You know, he knew. You know, we wish for things and we want things, but we want things that are out there or something that's back there. But so oftentimes we fail to appreciate what God is doing right here in this moment. Eat, drink, and be merry. It's a gift that God gives us. And if we'll take on an eternal perspective, if we'll simply take the gift of enjoyment and the gift of fulfillment and the gift of contentment that He offers us, life will be different. We won't be consumed by wealth. We won't be consumed by riches. It won't mean that we're not interested in those things, because we'll recognize that when we possess them, they are from the hand of God and they are gifts from the Lord. When we recognize that they're gifts from the Lord, we'll understand that they are tools in our hands to be used for the glory of God. Eat, drink, and be merry. Father, we come before you today and we thank you that you haven't left us down here just to stumble through life. Lord, that you haven't left us down here to wonder about what's going to happen. That you have given us a different perspective, an eternal perspective. Father, I pray that today, that those here today, that they're wondering, can life even be enjoyed? Is there a joy to this life? I pray, Father, today that they'll know that there is when they embrace you, when they turn to you, when they see life differently, when they see and understand that you do have a purpose for their living. Father, I pray for those here today that, Lord, they've placed their faith and trust in things and experiences, and Lord, in some ways they're longing for something that is just a fantasy, just some event that they're hoping is going to happen in their life someday. And I pray, Father, that they put their trust in you today and realize that you're the only thing that's certain about tomorrow. You're the only thing that's certain about living life and living life to its fullest and abundantly. You're the only thing certain about that. And Lord, I pray that each person here today understands that. And I pray, Father, for those of us that need to take inventory of our lives and recognize that the great gifts of life have already been given in many ways to us. The people around us and the Lord and the labor that we provide and just the fulfillment of doing something right and doing something good whether in our yard or out in our job this week and the things that we do, just achieving excellence for the glory of God, that we might bring honor to you in our professions, that we would do what we do because ultimately it draws attention to you in the workplace. Lord, I just pray today that we'll have a greater appreciation for the things that you've done in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.